God bless you, folks. Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 as we continue our thoughts on America in the end times. We'll read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting with verse 13. The Bible says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." As we continue our thoughts this morning, remember our statement of belief is a threefold statement. America will exist as a world power and a friend of Israel until the rapture. We've already dealt with that and finished that thought. The second part of that statement is after the rapture, America will fall overnight. That's what we'll deal with this morning. And thirdly, America will be aligned with the coalition of the beast, Antichrist, during the tribulation. The Bible brings before us the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, the Bible talks about what we refer to as the rapture, or the catching away. The word rapture, of course, is not found in your Bible, but the thought is there about when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and catches those that are alive in the Lord and catches us up into heaven to be with Him. I believe that when the rapture takes place, that America will basically fall overnight. Now, I use overnight as a relative term. You'll understand that as we go through the thoughts of this morning. Not so much in an overnight as far as a 24-hour period, but overnight as far as a short period of time. And I'll see if I can explain my position on that this morning. There's a book entitled Operation World. It was written by Patrick Johnstone and another gentleman. I'm sorry I failed to write his name down. I originally saw these statistics somewhere. I think maybe one of the missions boards supplied some basic statistics to me. And in doing this study, I actually found out where I could order this book. I ordered the book online. I bought it just for the statistical information that is in it as I was preparing for this thought and this part of this message. According to a survey that was done in the book Operation World, some salvation statistics were given for the different continents of the world, if you will, or different regions of the world. According to those statistics, and by the way, before I give these, let me say this. Salvation is in the hands of the Lord totally and completely. I believe that in eternity, we'll end up being surprised at some that didn't make it, and we'll also be surprised at some that did make it, that genuinely were, that were actually born again. Folks, God knows all about that. God's in control about that. God is the one that saves souls. You and I can present the Word to Him. That's as far as we can go. God is the one that saves, and He's the one that knows exactly who all is saved and who's not. I acknowledge that before I begin this part of our study. According to the statistics on this particular survey, in the United States of America, 32.5% of the people claim to be saved, to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. In Asia, 3.6% of the people claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, folks. My position is that America is going to fall overnight, and I'm getting at the heart of why I believe that America is going to fall overnight when the rapture takes place. In Africa, 14.8% of people supposedly know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. In the Middle East, less than 1% claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. In Latin America and the Caribbean, 10.5% supposedly know the Lord as Savior, and in Europe, 2.4%. Isn't that amazing? That the continent that a few hundred years ago gave us, in many ways, our godly heritage has fallen to the point that only about 2.4%, it looks like, of the population of the whole continent know Christ as Savior. Now, I want you to stay with me as we're giving these statistics. We are trying to make a point with them. According to the 2000 census, the population in the United States of America was 281,421,906 people. In October of 2006, it was announced that the population of the United States had grown past the 300 million mark. Now, I want you to take note of that. From 2000 to 2006, the population grew by some 19 million people. Today, from 2006 until today, the population of the United States has grown to approximately 304.5 million. Since October of 2006, the population of the United States has grown another 4.5 million. Holding those thoughts, the number of people in mind, let me give you some more statistics about salvation. Another study was done by the Barna Research Group concerning the number of people that were saved in America. Using a general term, the term born again, a survey was done, a rather comprehensive survey was done in America. And the results of that survey is that 42% of Americans claimed to be born again. 42% claimed to be born again using the general term born again. A more selective survey was done by the same group where they narrowed it down and they didn't just ask if you're born again, but they added a conditioning factor, if you will. They added to the question, not only do you claim that you're born again, but also do you believe that faith in Jesus Christ plus nothing and minus nothing is all that's needed for salvation? Using that qualifying question, they came up with a number of 8%. 8% of Americans, boy, that's a big drop, isn't it, from 42% that claim to be born again to 8% that claim to be evangelical Christians, if you will. You and I would be considered as evangelical Christians. 8% claim to be evangelical Christians. If you use that 8%, now stay with me, if you use that 8% and you added in all the children that would be involved then, that would mean, based on the population of the United States right now being 304.5 million people, that would mean when the rapture takes place that some 25 to 30 million people would be involved in the rapture. God's in the soul-saving business, folks. What statistic is right? One group said 32.5%. Another, using a survey, said 42% claimed to be born again. When they narrowed it down, they said that 8%. I personally, as unscientific as I can be, I personally would think that the right number in the United States, a Christianized nation, if you will, a nation that has had the gospel for an extended period of time, the opportunity to know Christ as Savior, based on the parables of Matthew chapter 13, I would just automatically in my mind think that the proper number of saved people in the United States would be somewhere in the area of 20 to 25%. Why do you say that? Why do I say that? I say that because when the sower went forth to sow, he was giving out the word of God. It began to fall on the soils. There were four different types of soil representing four different types of human heart. And only one out of the four responded by actually trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and being born again. I'm not saying this morning, and I've taught this, said this many times in this Sunday school class, I'm not saying that I believe that a hard mathematical number has to be attached to that. But nonetheless, based on that, in general terms, I would think in a nation that had had the gospel broadcast like the United States has, that the number of saved would be somewhere in the 20 to 25%. Wouldn't that be kind of in the middle of what those researchers showed? One said 42%, and one said 8%, and that kind of hits in the middle. If the 20 to 25% were right, and the rapture takes place, approximately 60 million people would be involved, and 60 million people would depart from the United States of America. However, if we go back again, use the most restrictive survey and say that the 8% was correct, when the rapture takes place, some 25 to 30 million people are going to suddenly disappear from the scene in the United States of America, and that 25 to 30 million people is going to represent all, are you listening? It's going to represent all of the salt and light of this great nation. The Bible declares to us that those that are born again in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, let me turn there very quickly. Matthew 5, 13 and 14. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. The true people of God, those that are genuinely born again, those that do indeed know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, are the salt and light of the world, the salt and light of the United States of America. And dear friends, when the rapture takes place, a lot of people are going to disappear. And when those people disappear from this earth, all the salt and all the light is going to go with them. Many nations of the world won't even notice the rapture. In the Middle East, where less than 1% of the population are born again, they'll not even realize that the rapture has taken place until they hear on the news that something's happened in America. A lot of nations not even going to notice it. Won't get their attention. It's going to be the next day if it happened in the middle of the night for them. They will not have an idea in the world that anything has happened until they get up the next day. In some cases, it may be several days according to how in tune they are with world events, because in their nation, in their home, in their city, in their country, it won't be significant enough to even be an issue. But in America, it's going to be different. In America, the immediate physical devastation will take place that'll result in social turmoil and panic. The physical devastation that's going to take place at the rapture will cause an economic meltdown in America. In America, when the rapture takes place, it'll result in military confusion. You see, I believe It's my position in this study that America will remain a strong world power until the rapture of the church takes place. And when the rapture takes place, when all of a sudden, somewhere in the area of maybe as little as 25 million, which is a lot of people, to as many as 60 million or more people, all of a sudden, they're going to disappear. And the devastation is going to be extreme. There'll be governmental indecision. Yes, it's going to be like you've heard over all these years. There will be aircraft that'll fall from the sky when their pilot is suddenly raptured. There'll be automobiles that'll go out of control and wreck because their driver is suddenly raptured. In the military, there'll be key positions that'll suddenly be vacated, and people will wonder for a while, what in the world has happened here? I can see that the government will try to come up with a sensible solution, if you will, as to what has happened. Some kind of a plague has taken place. Perhaps it was an alien abduction, after all. Oh, there's going to be all kinds of things that are going to be brought forth. But folks, here's the thing about it. In America, more than any other nation on the face of the earth, in America, the rapture is going to be a big deal because there's going to be far more people taken out at the rapture in America than any other country on the face of the earth. With Christians gone, there'll be nothing then to stay the judging hand of God. There'll be nothing to stay the judging hand of God. You do, of course, realize that God gives blessing and withholds judgment based on the presence of the righteous. Now, folks, it's not the other way around. We think in our minds that God must judge nationally based on the presence of the unrighteous. But I believe, according to the Bible, that the greater determining factor on how God acts is not the presence of a whole lot of unrighteous, but it's the presence of a lesser number of those that are righteous. Let's go to the Word of God and see that in play. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18 in your Bible. Genesis chapter 18, verse 22. God's about to send judgment. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 22, we're going to read from 22, verse 22 through the end of that chapter. It says, "And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure," now Abraham is interceding to God here. He said, "Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city, wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein?" Could I ask a question here? And this is not a trick question. This just came to my mind. Has anybody ever studied or determined approximately how many people were in Sodom and Gomorrah at this time? I do not know the answer to that. It hadn't dawned on me to try to find out. I don't know if that's information that's available. I just wonder, though, in my mind, I'm wondering what percentage 50 would have been based on the whole population. I dare say it would have been a very small percentage of all the people that were there. I don't know what that is, but it just came to my mind. Verse 25. "That be far from thee, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Now, folks, you understand what God said right there. I know that you do. God said, I'll spare all the city, including the unrighteous. The unrighteous will benefit from the presence of the righteous, even though the righteous are a minority. If you can find 50 in the city, I'll spare everyone because of the presence of those 50 that are righteous. Verse 27, and Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again, and said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall 30 be found. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once, peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. Folks, God said that concerning Sodom and Gomorrah, as great as their sin was, he said, I'll spare the cities. I'll spare the unrighteous along with the righteous. If I can just find 10 that are righteous within the city. My position has been that America will continue as a world power, and I've went to great lengths to show that I'm not just discounting sin or condoning sin in any way. I had given 3 positions for that, and I had purposely left out perhaps the most important now, which is the 4th until last. I believe that America will remain a world power because of the Abrahamic covenant and America fulfilling the requirements of God's blessings based on the Abrahamic covenant. I believe that America will remain a world power because of God's blessings promised for fulfilling the Great Commission, and I believe that America has done a better job in recent century and a half or more, a far better job of fulfilling the Great Commission than any other nation, even though we could and should do a lot more. I believe that America will remain a world power until the rapture takes place, and I've already stated that a third reason for that is because America has been a compassionate, peacemaking nation in the world, even though we've had, obviously, some real failures in that area. But folks, perhaps the most compelling reason to believe that is this one. Folks, there's more righteous found in America than there are in any other country on the face of the earth. God's the one that knows the numbers. But folks, all things being equal, as a percentage of population, I don't believe there's any question that there are more Christians, more righteous in America than there are in any other country on the face of the earth. God said, I'll spare Sodom. I'll spare Sodom if I can find 10. Why? folks, if we took the 8%, God could quite conceivably spare America because of the presence of 25 or 30 million righteous. Well, why don't we just knock that in half and say it's 4% that are really genuinely born again and drop it down to 12 or 15 million? I believe based on what God is saying here in reference to Sodom and Gomorrah, I believe that God could, based on His Word, spare America based on the presence of 12 to 15 million righteous men and women, boys and girls. You see, when the rapture takes place, it's all going to change, though, folks. When the rapture takes place, it's all going to change. When the rapture takes place, all the friends of Israel are going to be gone. When the rapture takes place, all the salt and light is going to be gone. When the rapture takes place and all the true born-again people of God are called up to be with the Lord, all of God's reasons for sparing America are going to be called up into heaven to be with Him. America, America will fall overnight. America will be a world leader and a superpower no more. She'll then be doomed to follow in the brief years that are left for nations, by the way. In the brief years that are left for nations then. America will be doomed to follow as a third, a second or a third or a fourth rate power in the world. Could I try to set it up for you a little bit to understand what I believe is going to happen when the rapture takes place? You see, folks, when the rapture takes place, there's going to be a period of time when the world leaders are going to be trying to figure out and give a logical explanation as to what's happened. Now, in some nations of the world, they don't really have to be too concerned about it. So few people are going to leave that they'll think they just took a vacation, you know, without telling anybody. In America, some kind of explanation is going to have to come up, though. Planes have fallen from the sky and tens of thousands of automobiles have wrecked and military leaders are gone and even some political leaders are gone. And in every community in the nation, there's going to be those key people that those around them, even if they didn't know the Lord, realize that they were different, that they carried the light of Christ with them in their daily walk. They're all going to be gone. Some explanation's got to be given and many things are possible. The rapture is going to take place, though. And after the rapture takes place, events are really going to start swirling. I taught this during Revelation. I'm going to say it again now. And it's a very controversial issue, I believe, in fundamental churches. And that issue is this. You do realize, of course, that when the rapture takes place, that does not mark the beginning of the tribulation period. Wow. You say, Brother Kirkpatrick, I've always heard it preached that when the rapture takes place, the tribulation is going to start. Well, you know what? I've said that probably 1,000 times myself. Can I read from you, for you, in on page 165? This is our study in the book of Revelation. On page 165, the top of the page, it says time gaps in Revelation. There are three very important time gaps in the book of Revelation that need to be understood. The first time gap is one I'm talking about this morning. There's a period of time between the rapture of the church and the beginning of the tribulation period. Let me just read what I've written here. You have it before you. By the way, Brother Dean and Brother Levi Bowman have put the the entire book and all the 52 studies, the 52 lessons that we taught on this thing on our church website. You can go to the Philadelphia Baptist Church website and you can read all this. But very quickly, many object immediately to this statement because they've always heard that the rapture will take place and then the tribulation period will begin. I have made the statement hundreds or thousands of times and still consider it a valid generalization. However, it's not completely accurate from a scriptural perspective. I offer the following. The Bible teaches that the peace covenant that is signed between Israel and the Antichrist, and not the rapture of the church, mark the beginning of the tribulation period. Folks, that's very important to understand. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. It's not the rapture of the church that marks the beginning of the tribulation period. It's the signing of the peace covenant that the Antichrist makes with Israel that marks the beginning of the tribulation period. The Bible teaches, now this is important, stay with me. The Bible teaches that the Antichrist comes on the scene as a man of peace, Daniel chapter 8 and verse 25. Since he is not revealed until after the rapture, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and since there is no peace during the tribulation period proper, Revelation chapter 6, do you remember? And I need to just stop here because I can't possibly finish it. You remember in Revelation chapter 6, the first seal is opened. There's three sets of judgments and the seals are the first. And when the very first seal is opened, the first seal is opened at the beginning of the tribulation period. And what do you have? You have somebody on a white horse. You've got warfare that's going on. Now, if the Antichrist comes on the scene as a man of peace, and there's no peace in the actual tribulation period, and there's not, when does anybody know him as a man of peace? I'll tell you when it is. It's between the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation period. I'm going to stop right here. The Lord willing, we'll start here again next week and we'll finish up our study, the Lord willing, next week on this thought.